Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that everybody in this room at some point in their life has had an experience where afterwards they have said, "What just happened?" And maybe it was something good, and maybe it was something not so good. Maybe you found yourself in an office argument that you didn't expect, and you wondered how it happened. Maybe you won a contest which you didn't expect to win, and you wondered what had happened. Maybe you found yourself going somewhere that you had never planned on going. But the sense of what just happened is not just something that you and I can experience when we have experienced normal mundane events. I suspect, and again, I'm just making a supposition here, that the Magi, the wise men, had this reaction after they encountered the baby Jesus. And I don't know whether it was seeing the actual baby, and I presume everybody here likes babies, they're cute. We respond to them. We have hopes for their futures. Or maybe they wondered just what they were doing in the middle of this backwater town in Judea. Why had they gone there? Well, if we believe Matthew's gospel, these wise men were searching for God. And according to some of the commentaries I've consulted, there were rumors afloat in the ancient world that God would be born amongst men. It wasn't just some idea that the authors of the gospel came up with after the fact. So the supposition was abroad in the land, and people had this desire to learn more. Now, we do not know how these wise men learned about Jesus. We don't know what kind of dark arts they may have been practicing. We don't know what rumor they may have heard, but somehow they knew where to go. And we know that stars do not operate the way Matthew describes here. If you look up in the night sky, the stars always move from one side of the sky to the other. They don't take a break. But they knew where to go, and they saw the baby Jesus. And we don't know what kind of reaction they had when they saw the baby Jesus. Again, it may have been a frisson of excitement. Like, oh my gosh. It may have been so powerful that they felt they couldn't talk with anybody about it. Think about it. The wise men may well have been all a babble about this discovery, or they may have been silent. We don't know. We never hear anything else about the Magi after this passage in scripture. These people move off the stage. And people at the time of the Gospels would have been okay with that. They may have had questions, but they were looking to the text for information about God and Jesus. Nowadays, I'm sure that there are a bunch of screenwriters who be getting together to write the story of the Magi, which they release as a big budget movie or as a TV series, which people would follow religiously on cable. And they want to see week in after week in after week out what the Magi were up to and what motivated them. It's all supposition. We don't know. But I do think, and again, this is just my assumption, that there must have been a sense of amazement and wonder. Not because the baby Jesus had a little halo around his head, not because there were angels floating around in the manger, blowing trumpets. They would have just seen Mary and Joseph and the baby. And if we believe Luke's gospel, they would have seen some farm animals. That's it. You can look down at the manger here in front of the sanctuary. There's not much going on there. It's kind of crowded. And maybe they would have talked about how the baby was born in this small room. We don't know. So what are we supposed to take away from this? Well, I think that the author of this gospel wanted us to share in some of the wonder of the wise men. He was trying to bring us to that place at that moment in time. And we can imagine ourselves there with the sheep, with the cattle, with the parents, with the baby. And hopefully we would experience something more than the normal joy that we see around a baby. Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Who here has held a baby? Okay, so you've all held babies. That's great. And it's a neat experience, isn't it? And sometimes they wriggle around. And perhaps if you've not done it before, you worry that you might drop the baby. I remember a cousin of mine who's a bit older than me had a baby presented to him, and he was a very tall, dignified fellow, and he clearly did not want to hold the baby. And he was wearing a new sweater, and I don't know what read he had on the baby, but he just assumed that this wasn't going to end well. But the baby was forced on him, and so he took the baby and held it, and the baby proceeded to upchuck on it. I don't know that he ever held a baby again, but that would not have been the experience of the wise men. How do I know that? First of all, I don't think Mary was going to be handing her baby to these three strangers from the East. But also, this is Jesus. And again, I know that Jesus is fully human in addition to being fully divine. But I don't think Jesus would have tossed his cookies on the wise men. But think about this. Jesus would have cried. Jesus would have needed to go to the bathroom. Jesus would have needed to do all of those things that all babies do. Every single one of them. So as we're thinking about the wonder of having the newborn God in human form with us, we also need to be thinking about what it meant for him to be in human form. Now I can go over to the creche here. And I can hold our baby Jesus, and he's not going to do anything. He's the best behaved baby in the world. And he serves us well year in and year out. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, that can't be the baby Jesus. He's black. Well, guess what? The baby Jesus can be whatever he wants to be. The baby Jesus was not some white person from Northern Europe. The baby Jesus could be anybody he wants to be. Think about that. But we do know that the baby Jesus is a source of inspiration for people throughout the ages. And again, my hope is that you take some time to ponder that mystery and that wonder. And that's what Epiphany is all about. In some parts of the world, this is the big day, not Christmas Day, Epiphany. Now, I've complained about this to some people in the past. Christmas does not end on December 26th. And I've seen pickup trucks with multiple trees in the back heading to West Lebanon. And I brought our tree there yesterday to West Lebanon. And I know that a lot of those trees were brought there before Epiphany. Radio stations stop playing Christmas music at the end of the day on December 25th. Christmas is a season, and it's going to extend beyond the Epiphany holiday. Today, if we were observing the liturgical calendar, with great diligence would be the baptism of Christ. And we would have done Epiphany on Friday. But what does the gospel do? It skips over Jesus's childhood, right to his young adulthood. And there he is in the River Jordan being baptized by John. There are times when we are called to bring our imaginations into play, to imagine the work that God has done and is doing for us and with us. And sometimes we have to imagine, as the gospel tells us, going in another road. We need to be prepared to change direction and do something different. And maybe it's in our personal lives, maybe it's with our jobs, maybe it's with the relationship, maybe it's with the diet. But there are times when we need to pray and to ask God for some direction and hope that we will discern what God is trying to tell us to do. So once again, we don't know what these people were named. They easily could have been Larry, Mo, and Curly, as well as Balthasar, Melchior, and I'm going to forget the last name right now. Gaspar, thank you very much. But we don't know. There may have been 12 of them. That was one of the beliefs in the early church, that there was a huge band of wise men traveling from the east. We don't know what the response of the Holy Family was to receiving these gifts. I know when our son was born, it was nice to receive gifts. And we received some pretty cool things like a digital thermometer. People were really generous and thoughtful. Nobody brought us gold. Nobody brought us frankincense. And thankfully, nobody brought us myrrh. But we know that these gifts have significance because we look at scripture and we can read this passage from Isaiah when this new king was going to receive gold and frankincense. And gold was a sign of wealth, and kings were wealthy. And frankincense was a sign of priesthood. And Jesus was supposed to be a priest in addition to being a king. And the myrrh? Well, that one's a little more complicated because myrrh is very valuable, but it's also used as an anointing oil. Not only for people who are being anointed as king, but for those who are being buried. And what Mary would have thought when she was presented with these gifts is completely beyond my comprehension. I don't know what Joseph was thinking. He must have been completely blown away. But if you had the opportunity to visit the baby Jesus, wouldn't you want to bring a gift? Think about that. Not just a card, but a gift. And what would you want to give the baby Jesus? What would I want to give the baby Jesus? That's a question worth thinking about. And we would want to avoid the situation where we go and visit the baby Jesus without a gift and then find ourselves asking afterwards what just happened. We would feel bad. But the important thing is that we are not going to have to go visit the baby Jesus, because the baby Jesus is going to come looking for us. And I said that in our children's message, but I'm going to say it again. God is looking for you and you and you and me. God doesn't give up looking for us. And we can find ways to put up barriers between ourselves and God. And sometimes we can build up pretty high walls. But God can always get over those walls and around them. God will find us. But then we need to make room for God in our hearts. And that may sound crazy, but it's no crazier than the idea of three wise men traveling from the east to visit the baby Jesus. Think about the weirdness of that story. Why do these strangers come to find Jesus? Why do they travel all of that distance? Traveling in a caravan back in the first century was hard work. It was not easy going. If these wise men were kings, I'm sure they had some advisors who wondered where they were going, what they were doing. Why weren't they staying at home running the kingdom? But off they went. And again, there's that call in scripture for us to look for God, no matter the inconvenience. And yes, it can be hard sometimes, but it's always worth looking. So just imagine, this is going to sound really trite, you're running across a field, lots of sunshine, a gentle breeze is blowing, and then someone is running towards you. And that someone has his arms open. Now, you know, if you're watching a movie, the strings are going to start playing and the music's going to swell. And hopefully, you and this person coming across the field are going to make contact and you're going to embrace one another. That's what it's like to meet God, and that's what it's like to meet Jesus. That's what it's like to have the Holy Spirit surround you. And that's not just a message we should consider on Christmas or the Epiphany or on Easter or on August 10th or on any other day of the year, but we should consider it every day throughout the year, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Think about that. Don't let yourself be caught by surprise, throwing up your hand and saying, "What just happened?" Meetings with the divine can be strange, but they can be intense, and they can be rewarding. And my hope is that everybody here will have that experience. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of the Epiphany. We thank you for the fact that you are looking for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.